Hey everybody, welcome to the Slick Tree Podcast. I'm your host, Colby Langford. The point of this show is to help improve ourselves as dog men and to raise the quality of the dogs on the end of our lead. So let's settle in, turn the volume up, and let's see if we can't learn a trick or two together from our guests.
Now, one night I had taken him down on the creek here below the house. No road ran down in between a cornfield. The corn was up around chest high. I seen him down the road. He cut left-handed. I walked on down to the creek and just standing there listening, looking up the stars, whatever. But I hear something coming towards me through the corn. I look around. I see an image of something just right above the corn, the top of the corn coming at me. And it, of course, it kind of startled me, and I flipped my light on right quick. Well, it was Maximus walking on his back legs. That rascal walked probably 40, 50 yards on his back legs, and he was winding a coon is what he was doing. Well, he did that for 40 or 50 yards, and then he shot right down towards the creek and just fell treed, and he had a big boar coon that was laid up on a limb there, but that was the first time I'd seen him actually walk on his back legs like that, but I thought it was pretty cool. But he could wind a coon, and he could wind a squirrel as well.
Sounds like it. Were you worried Sasquatch was coming for you?
I'm going to be honest with you. It startled me. I just about took off when it happened, because I wasn't expecting to see that when I flipped my light on. I didn't know what I was expecting, to be honest with you, but I could see an image at me. Well, I wasn't sure what it was, but I knew I wasn't expecting to see the dog walking on his back legs.
I got you.
But no, I had a buddy of mine had told me he had a coon problem on his place, and he said, go down there and take care of some of those coons. My daughter was, I don't know, she's about 10 years old at the time, and she would rather coon hunt than squirrel hunt. So we went in there one night, and he treed four singles in there in pretty quick fashion. And what made that special to me is she was with me, and she made a little video. Of course, I let her shoot the coon out, but she made herself a little video how she'd beat me coon hunting that night. But he could tree a coon. I'll say that about him.
Yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in again. You're listening to the Slick Tree Podcast. I'm your host, Colby Langford, and today we are talking with Reed Franks about his dog, Tennessee Maximus. Is that how that you normally pronounce that, or is it TN Maximus?
It's Tennessee Maximus. It's the TN, just abbreviated for Tennessee, you know, but just Tennessee Maximus. I call him Max sometimes, and sometimes I call him stuff that, you know, you can't say on here.
Yeah.
But
let's just start at the beginning, Reed. Why don't you tell us about how you end up with Maximus, how old he was, and who you got him from?
Okay. Well, at the time, I've had some type of tree dog my whole life, but at the time, I usually preferred hunting females. And, you know how a female does. If they'll come and heat at the wrong time, and when you're off work and can hunt and all that, well, I decided I was going to find me a male dog. Well, actually, a young boy on Facebook, he was still in his teens, I believe, and he had posted Maximus for sale. He was 4 months old, had a picture of his papers, and I looked at the breeding on him, and I liked what I saw, and I said, well, I'll just take a chance on this pup. I liked his looks, liked his breeding. Well, I bought Maximus at 4 months old off a Facebook post is how I ended up with him. The boy hadn't done a thing with him. I got him back here to the house, and, you know, we made buddies for a couple of weeks, and I didn't get used to the place. And I started letting him run loose as much as I could. And at 6 months old, one day I turned him out, and he went down here behind the house, and he fell treed like an old dog and never looked back. He actually treed at a young age. He treed so hard, I was actually concerned about him at times. I was afraid he was going to stroke out, but his eyes would roll back in his head, and it was just every breath. And to this day, when he was young, I'd put him up against any as far as tree power. But a lot of people that hunted with him could probably tell you the same thing. But he, man, he could tree.
What was Maximus out of?
Maximus was out of, at the time, it was Oakley's Blackjack and Hans H&T Edge, which she was a Briar Mountain Bud and Briar Mountain Liz female, which a lot of people know that bloodline. And that's one of the reasons I wanted him, because I like the Bud and Liz stuff, the tree knocking Mike stuff and all that. I've always liked that bloodline. Didn't know a lot about the top side, but I found out later on that it was out of some really good stuff as well. The bottom side is primarily what I, you know, what stood out to me when I was looking at his breeding, but you know, it worked out pretty good. I've had a tree dog of some type ever since I was a kid. I grew up with him. I'm 52 years old, soon be 53, but he's the most natural I ever owned. I mean, all he needed was a trip to the woods. That was it. You know, we had some little corrections from here, there, and yonder, just like a, you know, any normal dog would be, but he was as easy to start and as any I've ever owned, or easier. He's just all natural.
Yeah, what other, just out of curiosity, what other types of tree dogs have you had in your life, Reed?
Well, the first one I can remember as a kid, we grew up with an old English Shepherd, and half English Shepherd and half Cur. Really nice squirrel dog. Of course, all we knew back then was killing squirrels, but Lord, I hunted him as a kid till he passed, got old and passed, and I ended up around, oh, I don't know, I was in my mid-teens, I got my first registered dog, and OMCBA dog, an old dog called Lady is what I named her, but bred her, ended up breeding her on down the road to what most people would consider a busher bred male, and got some really nice pups out of that, and hunted them till they was too old to hunt, and I ended up changing jobs and whatnot, and I sold out for about 2 years. Got back into it. I bought a pup off of Brad Johnson in Florence, Alabama, that was out of Tree Knocking Mike and Possum Creek Asa. I named her Crybaby. A lot of people listening will probably know her. She was a heck of a squirrel dog. Had some quirks that I didn't like, but she was a heck of a dog. And of course, she had Tree Knocking Mike on the top side, which was Mike's out of Bud and Liz. And Mike's must have the Tree Knocker or the Bud and Liz on the bottom side. And that's what stood out to me when I looked at Maximus' papers. And that's one reason I wanted to get him, you know, was to breed, you know, down the road in the future, maybe breed those two. Mm-hmm. But I had I've had a coon dog along the way as well, just here, there, and yonder. I always kept an old dog of some kind of tree, a coon.
I gotcha. Let's see. So do you know who actually bred Maximus?
Yes, Dennis Oakley. Lives over close to Florence, Alabama, actually bred Maximus to, let me back up. Dennis Oakley owned Oakley's Blackjack. J.C. Hand owned Edge, was the old Bud and Liz female. And she was old when he bred her. She had two puppies, and Max was one of them. I forget the guy's name down in Mississippi that got the other pup. Well, I didn't know this at the time, but Dennis gave Maximus as a puppy to the boy I got him from. And Dennis told me later, I actually met Dennis at one of Terry Snyder's hunts down in Batesville, Mississippi. And he told me the story on that pup. But that's how I ended up with him. I just bought him off the Facebook post. And like I said, I met Dennis later, and he told me how that boy ended up with the pup. He gave him the pup and just never did do nothing with him, and he decided that he wanted to sell him, and I bought him.
Gotcha.
And best purchase I ever made.
So how old is Maximus? Still alive, right?
No, he passed. Maximus passed in December of 2022, actually. He was nine and a half years old. He had some health trouble, and we'd been back and forth to the vet. He had prostate problems, and he just ended up having his prostate removed, and he just never could get back to where he needed to be, and he was struggling. I could tell the old boy was in pain and suffering, and I had him put down. You know, I hated to do it, but I didn't want to see him suffering either, so just made the decision to go ahead and have him put down.
So what was he like whenever you'd take him hunting when he was in his prime? Just start with that. Well, once you drop the tailgate.
You drop the tailgate and cut him loose, he was going to get treed. He was the type of dog. He was getting treed. It didn't matter. If the squirrels were not moving, he was going to tree a den tree. If the squirrels was moving, he'd tree you squirrels. But now he kicked rocks in your face. And he was going hunting. And as far as his strengths went, he was just a pure natural, easiest starting dog I've ever started. But one of the things that stood out to me, the dog lived to be 9 and a half years old, and I can probably count on one hand the trees he ever left. He just didn't leave trees. Stay put, natural stay put dog. Hard tree dog. He could wind. And another thing about him is he could take correction. You could correct him and he was over it. He'd go right back and get treed again. You know, some dogs I've seen you'd have to take back to the truck. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't one of those type.
How would you describe the handle he had?
Well, I guess you might fall. It could fall on the weakness side with his handle. He was hard-headed on the handle now. If you were hunting and you got ready to go and you could tone him, and he was going to make sure that he got treed after you toned him. If you could even give him a little electricity, and he was going, you could watch him on the Garmin. He'd speed up, and he was going to get treed. You had to go get him off a tree when you got ready to go. You wasn't calling him out. You had to go get him off a tree.
Sounds like he had one thing on his mind.
That was a little aggravating at times, but there's worse problems to have, I guess you'd say. But you were going to get him off a tree.
What was his range like when he was hunting?
Well, he would tree them close, and he would tree them far. If he couldn't get treed in a decent amount of area, he would go till he got treed. I've treed him at 15 yards, and I've treed him at 1,500. But his primary range was probably within 400 yards, 400 to 500 yards, you know. Mm-hmm. If squirrels were stirring, he wouldn't ever get that far. But if they weren't, I would say, you know, 400 to 500 yards. But he wasn't perfect, but he was close to it. You know, every dog's got their faults, but he was as close as I could ask for.
Yeah.
He did, and in the competition world, he didn't beat himself. You had to beat him. He just didn't make mistakes.
What was his mouth like?
Oh, he had a really good mouth. Hard chop mouth that carried well. It's loud. I couldn't ask for it to be much better, in all honesty. He had a good mouth.
You mentioned him in the competition world. What were some of the accomplishments Maximus had?
Well, of course, he won the 2016 OMCBA World Championship. But the first hunt, I guess, I ever put him in, he wasn't but about a year old, and I carried him to Dyersburg to the UMCA. I think it was Tennessee State hunt. And it was just a single-round hunt. But he won his cast, placed third, I believe it was. They had a treeing contest. He won the treeing contest. I mean, he was a easy 120, 30 bark a minute dog at that time. And, about everywhere we carried him, he was a cast winner. You know, in some of the single-round hunts, all you could do is win your cast and you placed where you placed. I was still hunting crybaby some at the time, and a friend of mine, Daniel Ballard, I actually hunted against Daniel in that first hunt at Dyersburg. He was hunting a dog, Jody Jackson's dog, called Trigger's Antiopolis. She was a real squirrel dog. But we were fortunate and won that cast, and me and Daniel became friends. But anyhow, like I said, I was still trying to hunt crybaby some, and crybaby was curious. I had to handle her. She didn't do good with other people, but Daniel handled Maximus and probably three or four hunts for me, and did well with him. But we hunted him, I think it was UMCA treat on the Tom Bigby. He won his cast and placed second, maybe. I think it was second in the squirrel hunt and third in the coon hunt, won the combo dog. Had the Cherry Chapel Showdown here close to home. It was a hunt for St. Jude. He placed third in the squirrel, third in the coon, won the trend contest. Of course, he was a combo winner, but all that, those early hunts there kind of led me up to getting him in Jamestown to the World Hunt. John Newman, which most people know John, he doesn't need any introduction, but John is as good of a dog man as I know. John called me up, and he said, hey, he said, I like what I've been seeing out of your dog. Of course, I'd posted some videos and whatnot of him, but he said, I'd like to come go hunt with him sometime. And I said, well, yeah, come on down. And, well, he called me one day. He said, you going to be home next Saturday? And he said, I'd like to come down and see him go. And I said, sure. And I said, come on. Well, he owned Briar Mountain Dude at the time. Of course, I'd heard a lot about Dude and wanted to see him go as well. But I really didn't know what to expect. I figured I was going to get waxed by Dude, but they went tree for tree. I mean, it was just bam, bam, bam. And I don't know. We made four or five trees apiece. And we got back, and we just had small talk and all that. And John told me, he said, your dog's pretty nice, Reed. And I never thought much about it. And I was on my way to work that afternoon, and John called me. He said, Reed, said, your dog's better than what you think he is. He said, you got a nice dog. And he told me a few things that I could probably do better with him. And anyhow, a month or so, maybe a couple months rolled by. John said and called me, and he said, Reed, he said, I've got somebody that's wanting to buy a Dude. He said, if I sell him, he said, will you let me hunt him in the World Hunt at Jamestown? I said, sure will. But that just tickled me to death, in all honesty, because John was known, you know, to be a good dog man, and he'd already won a couple of World Hunts with a couple of different dogs, and I knew that that would be a good thing for me and Maximus if he did. But long story short, it was around the end of October, I guess, something like that, in 2016, I got Maximus up in John's hands to get him tuned up and get ready for the World Hunt. And December rolls around. And I didn't know this at the time, but John still, he had a female named Candy, and he was still hunting her as well. But anyhow, I get up to Jamestown, I guess the day before the hunt, and John says, you're handling Maximus in the morning. I said, do what? He said, you're handling Maximus. He said, I'm hunting Candy. He said, my son was going to handle Candy, but he can't make it. He said, so you're handling Maximus. I said, well, okay. So that kind of, you know, I thought I was going to get to sit back here and kind of take it easy and watch John do his thing. But anyhow, I handled Maximus in the first round and got through, and John actually got beat in the first round. So he handled Maximus the rest of the time. But we had a heck of a hunt up there. It was a really good hunt, good sportsmanship from everybody, and drew some really good dogs. We were fortunate to come out on top of that.
Whenever you were hunting him in a cast, what was he like as far as independence? Was he naturally a pretty independent dog, or would he like,
yes,
to pack up a little
bit? And I'm going to tell you something about him. When you hunted him by himself, he was in a lower gear. If you cut him with another dog, he was competitive. He would bump it up about two gears. He was much faster when you cut him loose with another dog, and not much at all would get treed in front of him. He was getting treed first. In the World Hunt, we went through four rounds of some stiff competition. And the only dog that got treed in front of him was Hummer. We drew Hummer in the third round, and everybody knows 2020 Hummer. Hummer got treed left-handed. Maximus got treed right-handed. And there wasn't a split-second difference, but Hummer did get treed first. Hummer had a den, Maximus had a squirrel. But we drew some really good dogs up there. The first round in Jamestown, we drew Tree Talking Hammer, which was, I think he had won the UMCA World the year before. Second round, we had, I can't remember the other dog that was on that cast, but, and I'm not, don't misunderstand me, I'm not knocking these dogs, but we won that cast fairly easy. It was just Maximus' time. The second round, I think we drew Hummer Jr., which was owned by Stanley Hockenberry. Anthony Arnold was handling him. And it was just, it was dead that morning. I mean, nothing was moving. It was cold. And I think, I don't think we treated a squirrel on that cast. I think we just out-circled him. He had made a 300 circle, and we had 400 or 500 circle. There wasn't a squirrel to be found anywhere that morning. Next round, we drew Hummer, and Shannon Looney was handling him. And 2020 May, I believe it was, Herbie Hicks. And Herbie's always known to have a good dog, and I'm not going to lie, I was nervous on this cast because I'd heard about Hummer my whole life, but the last several years. Of course, Hummer was, he was older then. He wasn't a young dog, you know, but he was still a machine, I'm going to tell you. But Maximus treed four or five squirrels, and Hummer never treed a squirrel. It was just all den trees that he made, but it was just his time. But now on that cast, Max did draw a minus. That's one of the minuses. That's one of the trees he actually moved on. But we had, I believe we were lease locked, if I remember correctly, and we went into the other dog's trees, and they was all together when we cut them loose again. This was about the second or third tree. Well, they just went right up the hill from us, and all three dogs pretty much fell treed right there together. And we were waiting on the tree time, and you could tell that Maximus moved over. I mean, you could tell it. And I'm sure the squirrel had timbered, but we didn't see it timbered. And you could tell he moved, and he drew a minus. But anyhow, we went on and finished the cast, and we had treed four or five squirrels at the end of it, and I think 2020 May had treed one, maybe, but and Hummer, he had five or six den trees. But we got through that round, and then that put us in the final. We was in the final with Porcupine Mountain Bud, which has a big list of accomplishments now for sure, but he was owned by Adam O'Donnell. Chad Murphy was handling him, and we drew Bo Dooley with Big Man Oz. And I think we won the cast 200 plus, 240 circle, something like that. Oz had 100 plus, 300 circle, and Bud actually had went right-handed, way right-handed. He had a squirrel on the card, but he went way right-handed and got out of pocket, and he was up close to a road, and Chad withdrew, so it just left me, or it left Maximus and Oz in it. But it came right down to the end. It was a really good cast, and he was fortunate to come out on top, but that's what happened. Oz went on, I think, that just a couple months later then, and won the JPI hunt. So I'm saying all that to say this. We drew some really tough dogs.
Sounds like it.
Oh, it was at the time, it was as tough as it come, in my opinion. But I know it sounds like I'm bragging on Maximus, but Maximus, what was impressive to me, he never trailed on any cast. Never trailed it. He took the lead and kept it. So that I felt good about that. Well, I was proud of him, say the least.
Well, winning any world hunt should be an accomplishment. So, I mean, rightfully so, in my opinion, that you should be able to brag on the dog a little bit. Sounds like
we drew. I know two former world champions. And of course, Hummer had won everything under the sun, and Hummer was considered the GOAT, still is considered the GOAT. But we drew some tough dogs.
You mentioned in that cast that he took a he drew a minus for what you assume was timber with a squirrel.
Right.
Whenever you were just pleasure hunting him, was he bad to? Would he like to timber squirrels, or was he a hard enough tree dog that once he locked down, he was pretty much just going to stay there whether the squirrel was or not?
It all depended. If he had his eyes rolled back, he wouldn't see a lot. But now if he saw the squirrel move, he would move with it. And, it's hard to fault a dog for doing that. But in a competition world, you don't want them to. But at the same time, there's a fine line there that, you don't want them – correct them for, of course, a lot of people do, but I didn't want to. But John handled the dog. He had him ready for the hunt. But, he saw the squirrel. I could tell by the way his bark changed and then he moved. You could tell he saw the squirrel. But he wasn't always move with a squirrel. It was just, whether if he saw it, he was probably going to move with it. But a lot of the times, his eyes would roll back in his head. Like I said, when he was young, I actually got worried about him a few times for treeing so hard. I thought he was going to stroke out. I know that sounds odd, but I was seriously worried about him at times.
Earlier you mentioned when he was walking around on his back legs winding. How would you describe his nose style? Did he primarily hunt with a winding nose, or was he pretty tracky too?
Well, he would do both. He in all honesty, he just tree whatever came and he came across. He could wind one, and he could work a track to a tree. And I have seen him, kind of drift in a track and come treed, and I've seen him put his nose on the ground. But he could do either. And back up to where I was talking about him treeing so hard, I'll tell you another little story. Me and a buddy was coming back. We'd went down to that same cornfield where I told you he was walking on his back legs one night, and we didn't do any good. There wasn't anything stirring. And we took the long way back home with a big coon ran across the road in front of us. Well, we just stopped and dumped him out, and he hit his track, and he had him treed probably within 100 yards. And we got down there to him in a big old den tree. Coon done got in a hole. But he was just absolutely blowing the top out of the tree. And I was squalling trying to get the coon to come out. But anyhow, I looked around, and blood was just pouring out of one side of his nose. And the only thing I could figure out, he treed so hard, he ruptured a blood vessel or something. But kind of scared me there for a little while, but we got him settled down and it stopped bleeding, but never did happen again. But that's the only thing I could figure out, that he just got so wound up and treeing so hard that it ruptured a vessel or something.
Mm-hmm. That's I never heard of that happen. That's pretty crazy.
Well, I hadn't either, but that was the only explanation I could come up with. There wasn't anything around there, that he didn't run a stob or anything up his nose. That's the only thing I could figure out. But he was a very hard tree dog. And I found out, I told you earlier that I had met Dennis Oakley at one of Terry Snyder's hunts in Batesville, Mississippi. And he actually had Maximus' daddy there, Blackjack, was there in a treeing contest. And I found out where he got his tree power from. Because Blackjack was a heck of a tree dog.
So what was, I know that you bred Maximus quite a bit. What was he like as a reproducer?
Well, if people would be honest, I'd say he's just like every one of the rest of them. We made some good crosses. And we made some that didn't turn out. Some females I thought would have made really good crosses didn't, and some that I wouldn't have gave a nickel for turned out good. But most went to pleasure hunters, but there were several that got into the competition side of it that did well. We had Brad Goodman owned Mad Max, which was out of the Harley female, and he won the 2019 UMCA World Championship with him. Lord, he had a list of accomplishments. I think he won the 2018, he won the Arkansas State Championship and the UMCA Mississippi State Championship. And he was a combo dog as well. He won several combo awards. He could tree a coon as well. Travis Klein owns a dog called Trooper. It's a pup that I raised here, and I sold him at somewhere around a year old, and one of the few dogs I've ever regretted selling. But Trooper was out of a dog called Maddie. It was a female I had here in the kennel. She was out of Briar Mountain Dude and Tree Style and Lacey. But Trooper reminded me a lot of Maximus, but I knew he was going to be a nice dog. But I sold Trooper to Russ Covington. And, of course, Russ and Mark and Bo Dooley, they was all hunting together and stuff. But he won, I think it was 2018 NSD Dog of the Year in Georgia. And then Travis ended up buying him from them. He got, I think he was two-time USDC Reserve World Champion. He finished like third or fourth in the NSD World. Trying to think of who else. Tommy Broadway had a dog called Mac out of Maximus and Terry Schneider's female Remy. He won first place, I think, in the Northwest Mississippi Squirrel Hunters Association spring hunt down there one time. Garrett Boutwell had a little female out of the Harley female, same thing that Brad Goodman, the Mad Max dog, was out of. He did a little winning with her and was always competitive in every hunt he was in. I think he actually won a couple of hunts, maybe an NKC hunt, and seemed like he won the OMCBA hunt in Arkansas with her. Toby Fikes bred his Rosebud female. Rosebud was really nice squirrel dog, really nice. He had a little dog called Maple out of that cross that she placed well in several hunts. She placed third, I think, in the UMCA Junior World, and I won't say third in the OMCBA Junior World. Did really well. Tim Bracey also had a dog called Chevy out of that Harley cross. The Harley made some, her Maximus made some really nice squirrel dogs, but Chevy did well in several hunts. I don't think he won any, but he placed well in several. You know, we had a good mix. Josh Latham had a really nice dog out of the first cross that was ever made to Maximus, which was, I told you, the first cast that Maximus was ever in. We drew a dog called Trigger's Annie Oakley. Jody Jackson owned her, but Jody ended up breeding Maximus to Maximus, and that was the first cross that was ever made. But you know, it's just a wide mix. We got some crosses that wasn't good, and some that turned out really good. And I think if, you know, most stud dog owners would be honest, it happened. That's pretty much the way it is. You know, they just all don't make it. Mm-hmm. But and it has a lot to do with the hands that the pups get into. A lot of people know the one they call the judge, which was Ronnie Rextraw. He's passed and gone now, but I'll never forget what he told me one time. Ronnie, actually, he's the one that made the Briar Mountain Bud and Leah's cross. But Ronnie told me, he said, if all we had to do was breed good ones to good ones, we'd all have a good one. And I kind of laughed, but, you know, he's right. But, and like I said, it depends on on the hands that the pups go to. You know, some a lot of people and don't want to make anybody mad, but a whole lot of people really don't need a pup. Just to be honest with you, they'd be better off, and their money would be better spent to buy them either a finished dog or a really good started dog. Because you know, some people just aren't good with pups.
Earlier you mentioned that you had another female whenever you got Max, that was heavy bud Liz, and like the trooper dog you said, he was out of a female that was heavy bud Liz. What was your experience with kind of loosely line breeding, and how'd that work out compared to maybe just outcrossing him to whatever? Did you see any correlation there?
In all honesty, not really. Like I said, some of them just hit and some of them didn't. That's just, you know, that's the best explanation I can give. It's just, and I just determined breeding is a whole lot of just rolling the dice and see what you get. But, you know, I try to put some science to it. Now, you would see, no doubt, you know, particular traits when you did the line breeding that would come out of some of the dogs. But they just, you know, it was just a 50-50 shot, in all honesty. But the Maddie female was out of Briar Mountain Dude. That's the female trooper was out of. That I really liked that cross. And like I said, the Harley dog, and Lord don't get me to lying on how Harley was bred. I can't remember all of it, but she reproduced really good out of with the Maximus. But
so, as a dog, what do you feel like was his biggest strengths and weaknesses?
His biggest strength in a competition world, or just pleasure hunting?
Both of them. Both of them.
Well, in a competition world, he was competitive. Like I said, you just wasn't going to get in treating. Not much was ever got treated before he did, and I know that first tree isn't always, it isn't always the winning factor, but it makes you feel good when you can get on the card first. And he was good about having a squirrel if they was stern. He was competitive. Like I said, he didn't leave trees. And pleasure hunting, anybody could hunt him. It wouldn't matter if you'd never met him before in your life. You could come load him in the box and took him hunting. He didn't care. He didn't have a lot of quirks.
I gotcha.
But now, as far as his weakness, he would heat up on you in hot weather. The colder it was, the better he liked it. And I'd guess part of that was because he treed so hard. But the colder it was, the better he liked it. But now, he didn't meet a stranger. Anybody, it didn't matter. You could have took him hunting, or Joe Blow down the road could have took him hunting. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, I had a heavy bud Liz male dog that he'd do the kind of same thing on the heat. He didn't handle heat as well as I'd have liked him to.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. He could have a squirrel sitting on the top of the tree, and you could pull him right off the tree and send him from the base of it, and that's just something he did on his own. He would just cut loose from the base of that tree, and he'd go right on a tree another. And he was just a natural. And a lot of the pups that people told me, you know, that they got off of him, they were natural as well. Made it easy on me, I'll tell you. I don't consider myself a great dog man by any means. I mean, I've started lots of young dogs, but, man, he made it easy. And it made it harder down the road because you get a pup that you had to put a lot more time in and do more things with, and you get thinking back about how easy it was with Maximus, and you'd want to cull this pup because it was being more difficult. You know what I'm saying? And so it made it, you know, Maximus set the bar. He did when it come to young dogs and getting them started. He was easy.
What are,
and I know I'm making him sound like he walked on water, but he didn't walk on water by any means. But, man, he was easy. He really was.
Well, in your defense, if he wasn't something special, we probably wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation about him.
So. Well, he, and like I said, in the competition, bro, he didn't beat himself. You had to beat him. He wasn't gonna make many mistakes at all.
Yeah.
You just had to out-squirrel him.
Kind of jumping over another topic real quick. Whenever you're starting, you talked about starting quite a few pups. What are some things you like to do with a pup whenever you're starting them?
Well, the number one thing I like, they need to be socialized well. And where I live, I'm right out my back door. I can go about a mile, almost a mile each way without crossing a public road other than right in front of the house. And I let a pup run loose as much as I can. And to me, it helps. But I put some feeders out. And, you know, if you've got the game and you can get dogs that's bred right and they've got it in them and they're on hot squirrels, you know, it makes it a lot easier about getting them started. I tell people, I say, if it's in them, it'll come out if you'll give them the opportunity. And if you're planning on competition hunting, there's some things you ought to do with that pup from day one, in my opinion. One thing is get used to leashing that dog to the tree. You know, leashing your dog up when it trees, to me, prevents a lot of bad habits from ever starting. One, you know, like jacking the tree and running around the tree and all that, or even tracking off and coming back, that sort of thing. But just let it get used to staying put at that tree. I think that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Socializing the pup and getting it in hot game and just giving it an opportunity, you know, if it's in them, it'll come out.
Let's jump back and so what would you call his biggest weakness?
Maximus' biggest weakness?
Mm-hmm.
Probably just the heat. Yeah, just the hot weather would slow him down. It would. And I don't know if you know this or not, but after the world hunt, Maximus, well, we actually hunted the JPI after the 2016 world hunt. We made it through the first round in the JPI, and the second round it warmed up. It was up in the 70s, and we drew Big Creek Woody, which everybody knows Woody, and I believe it was Isaac Peavy House was hunting gator, I think it was. Anyway, we lost that round, but Maximus, well, he got tree, but he wasn't the same. You know, it slowed him down, and he just wasn't the same dog. But now, I got him back home, and we hunted some, and I said, something's just off about this dog. So I took him to the vet and had some blood work done, and sure enough, he had auricula, and we treated him for that. And he never was the same, though. He was good for one round. And if you hunted this morning and went back to hunt this evening, he was in a lower gear. He just wasn't the same. He never, his stamina just wasn't the same. And he was just a different dog then.
I gotcha.
I hunted him, I think, maybe the next year I carried him to Jamestown and hunted in a USDC hunt. Won my first round with him. I don't remember if it was USDC or NSD. Anyhow, we had a midday round, and I treated a squirrel right out the gate. We was hunting a hound. I think it was Lawman and 2020 Crank, I believe it was. But anyhow, we treat a squirrel right out the gate. The hound treat a squirrel, and Crank went through the country somewhere. But anyhow, after that first tree, he slowed down. He just wasn't the same, and ended up losing that cast. And I said from then on, I said, me and him just pleasure hunt from now on because he's just not the same dog after the auricula. And I know Randy Smith, you talked to him about skillet. He had it. It changes them. But, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So when Maximus was in his prime, if you pulled him out of the box getting ready to go hunt, Explain to me what you'd be looking at on the tailgate, just his whole confirmation.
Oh, his ears perked up and looking down through the woods. He was excited, ready to go. I mean, that's the way he was. He was amped up. Too amped up sometimes.
What
he was wired pretty tight.
How big a dog was he?
He was in hunting shape. He'd be around 50 pounds. If I had to change anything about him, I'd give him just a little more leg. He was kind of he's kind of barrel chested, I guess you'd say. But if I could give him a little more leg, I would have. But you know, he is what he is, or was what he was. I couldn't ask for him to be much better, in all honesty.
Yeah. What was his color like?
He was saddleback brindle.
Gotcha.
Black saddle and brindle legs. My favorite.
Yeah.
I love that color confirmation on a dog.
Yeah, it's a good looking color. They should all be painted like that. What was his head and ear set like?
He had a square blocky head. Ears set a little high on him, but big square blocky head.
Gotcha. Well, you got any other good stories on him?
I guess I've told you about all I can think of. We spent so much time together. Now, most of my hunting, and this is one reason I didn't hunt any more competitions than what I did. I work a crazy rotating shift schedule. I get 1 weekend a month off. That's it. And the wife kind of frowns on me when I run off to a squirrel hunt on that 1 weekend. I'm off. But most of mine and Maximus hunting is just me and him, you know, just by herself. And Lord, if I had more people with me, I could probably have more stories. But man, I know this is gonna sound funny, but after a few years, and this sounds bad, it was kind of boring to me to hunt him, because it was just, you got the same thing each and every time. He's just going to get treed, just from one tree to the other. And I know that sounds silly to say that was boring, but I always liked and still do training young dogs. And, you know, I like to see them progress, but, you know, he had reached a point where progression was over. It was, you had the same dog, bam, 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 every time. And I guess that sounds silly, but it gets monotonous to me.
I get it. I kind of can agree with you on that idea. It's sounds like it's getting to be more of a squirrel harvest than a squirrel hunt.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I got to where I would kill some squirrels to eat from time to time, and I had a few neighbors that, you know, liked to eat squirrels, but towards the last few years we didn't kill a lot of squirrels. And he didn't require it. He wasn't one of those dogs, and you know, you want giving the people an idea. Some dogs, you know, people say they got to have some fur, but he wasn't one of them. You didn't have to shoot a squirrel to him, and it didn't make any difference. He's going to treat you another one.
Well, Reed, we're getting pretty close on our time here. I want to thank you again for coming on here and talking to us about Maximus and giving us a little bit of your time. Sure appreciated it.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Well, everybody, take care and keep wearing out that boot leather. I just want to give everyone that's listening a sincere thank you. Getting this podcast going has been a project. I really hope you're enjoying it, and if you don't mind, give the show a good rating and review wherever you're listening to it at, or share it on your social media to help get some traction. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to your feedback.